Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. Not too many years ago, Kansas's economy was recovering from the Great Recession and state revenues were on the rise, allowing policymakers to make important investments in public schools and human services and other important programs. Then Governor Sam Brownback convinced the legislature to sharply cut income taxes and set up a plan to eliminate them altogether. State revenues plummeted, and now the schools are struggling to meet payrolls, and the state faces a massive budget shortfall. Here to talk about the lessons for North Carolina from the rush to cut taxes in Kansas are former Kansas lawmaker and state budget director Dwayne Gosin and Annie McKay, executive director of the Kansas Center for Economic Growth. Well, thank you both for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
For folks who are listening who have heard maybe a little bit about what's happening in Kansas, how do you, when you try to explain what has actually happened to your state in terms of taxing and revenue, how do you explain that?
Kansas passed some very dramatic income tax cuts that reduced rates and also exempted most businesses from paying any income taxes at all. And the end result of that has been a very significant drop in revenue to our state general fund, which now, as our legislature tries to balance things out, is creating a very hard problem because revenues are far below normal ongoing expenses.
And what sort of revenue decline are we seeing, and how is it being felt in Kansas?
Well, normally, revenue in Kansas might grow 4 or 5% and that would be probably normal for most states if everything was going forward in a reasonable way. But last year, revenue dropped $700 million in Kansas, which is about an 11% drop. Not only did revenue not grow, it dropped 11%. And now we just learned yesterday that it's going down even farther this year.
To put that in perspective for folks who are listening, in North Carolina, that would be the equivalent of more than $2 billion in a drop, right?
Yes, probably almost three.
What has been the budget implications? How have Kansans felt this?
Yeah, so when you look at what our general fund goes to, you know, it goes to similar things in North Carolina, but in Kansas, a bulk of it goes to public schools and K-12 education and higher ed and county health departments and Meals on Wheels and mental health centers and a whole host of things. But what we're seeing now is that we've got public schools that are submitting applications to the state for emergency funds to make payroll for the month of June, which is the end of the fiscal year in Kansas. We also have school districts that are having board meetings right now and talking about ending the school year a week or 2 weeks early. Rural hospitals that are struggling at this point. So that the effects are really being felt all across those areas that are supported by the general fund, but all across the state. And correspondingly, we're seeing counties raise property taxes just to backfill and not even hold the line. I mean, really just get by in communities across the state.
Now, when this tax cut was proposed, there were those who said, well, if we do this, we'll actually increase our revenues because of the investment and the economy will be booming so much and that it's actually a win for both sides. That was the prediction.
Yes, the whole policy was predicated on the idea that there would be some, I guess you might even say, magic involved. You could cut taxes and yet revenue would not fall. It would stay the same or even grow. But of course that has not happened. That has not proved to be true at all. The tax cuts have meant much less revenue and very difficult problems in balancing the budget.
I'm sure there are those who are listening who have heard people in North Carolina say, we have to balance our budget, but we also need to shrink the size of government, and this is just about priorities and also creating jobs. And how do you respond to those things?
Well, certainly it's important to try to improve economic activity and create jobs, but the tax cuts in Kansas have not done that. Our economic activity is actually less than most of our surrounding states, and we're running below national averages on job creation and other kinds of economic indicators.
Where we are adding private jobs, a majority of them are low-wage jobs, and we talk about then the investments that are really critical to growing our economy, like strong roads and a good public school system. We're lowering those investments, and correspondingly in the coming years, we're really going to see the outcome of that. And it's going to be tough to attract businesses to Kansas in the coming years when we don't have a workforce coming out of our public school system that's ready to go when we don't have roads that are in good repair.
And what's been the response, the folks who predicted this wonderful magic that you described? And then what are people saying now when you're faced with this financial disaster?
At the front end, it sounds seductive. We can cut taxes and still have the same amount of money. Things will grow and everything will be good. That it sounds great. But now we're 3 years into our tax cuts in Kansas, and there is a widely growing awareness that this just simply has not worked. As budgets don't balance, as programs get cut, more and more people are coming to terms with the fact that this has not worked out well for us in Kansas, and we need to somehow change course. Even our most conservative lawmakers in Kansas, as they face this big gap between revenue and expense, are coming to the conclusion that we're going to have to raise revenue somehow in order just to muddle through in this next year. Trouble is, the revenue that they're likely going to raise is not it's not the same revenue that was cut. The tax burden is being transferred from wealthier Kansans to lower income and middle income Kansans.
A lot of people have heard of Governor Brownback, and this was his initiative, and I'm sure you've heard this too from conservatives. Well, he was reelected. Was that a validation of these policies?
I think when we look at how this started, I mean, as Dwayne indicated, there was, you know, some magical thinking in this, but it was touted as being an adrenaline shot to the heart of the Kansas economy. And that was what proponents were saying this was going to do. And it's not done that, but it's taken some time not only to feel the fallout of the revenue loss, but also then to see the impacts. So when we look at building this story and giving Kansans an understanding of how this is going to play out in the coming years, we lost the revenue. Now, correspondingly, we're seeing school buildings close. We're seeing, you know, schools unable to make payroll, and we're seeing tuition rise, and we're seeing a whole host of things that are just really the beginning of the chickens coming home to roost of this tax policy. So I think when we talk about what this looks like in the next 18 months to 2 years, Kansans will fully understand the predicted outcomes when we started down this path. And I think we'll probably, as a state, make some different choices.
How was Kansas filling the hole now?
So far, Kansas has filled the hole by drawing down its bank account or its reserves to the point where the state no longer has anything in reserve. No rainy day fund, no money in the bank. So that option is now closed. The state has also begun transferring money from its highway fund to the general fund in order to make up the difference between revenue and expense. But that, of course, has significant consequences. As money is taken from the highway fund, that means that road programs and road preservation projects have to be reduced or cut back, and that is happening in Kansas as well. Now, you don't immediately see the effect of that. When road preservation projects are canceled, that shows up a couple years down the line. But that's certainly in store for us, because we've moved a significant amount of money from highways to the general fund just to try to make things work. But it's a temporary solution that only works for the year in which it's done. And then the next year, same problem occurs. We've got revenue that's dropping and expenses that are growing. And somehow now lawmakers have to do something about that.
It is a process before people feel it. Are Kansans feeling it, do you think, now?
Absolutely. I mean, when we passed this tax policy, it was said to leave money in the pockets of Kansans and so that they could spend it locally. And I think, one, we've not seen that trade-off. You know, the decrease in income tax collections has not resulted in the corresponding increase in sales tax collections. So there's that. But also at the same time, while we've left money in the pockets of some Kansans, because we had offsetting things like increase in sales tax and the elimination of tax credits for low-income Kansans, so we actually raised taxes on the poorest 40%. But when you look at the money that we left in the pockets of some Kansans, it's coming out of the other pocket for increased property taxes, local sales tax initiatives to backfill, increased fees for school enrollment or extracurricular activities, or increased fees coming from the city or county, again, just to hold the line. So really, they're paying more, again, and not for an increase in quality of life or any of those things. The other thing, we've talked about the big ticket items, but every Kansan is standing in line to pay for this tax policy, from our youngest Kansans and our early education programs, we've cleaned out those accounts. We have an endowed account for early education programs, and we've wiped it completely clean to transfer into the state general fund all the way up to services that our seniors rely upon, like Meals on Wheels. We're tapping that too. So every Kansan is standing in this line, and increasingly we've run out of things to take from low-income folks, so we're moving up the line now to middle-income Kansans.
What's your message to policymakers in North Carolina and elsewhere about what's the lesson we take from Kansas?
It sounds great to cut taxes and hope that everything will turn out okay, but the lesson that I believe the Kansas situation presents is that if you cut taxes, revenue will go down, and that then creates problems and issues and corresponding budget cuts later on.
Well, thank you both very much for being here to tell the story of Kansas and coming to North Carolina, and we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.